We have a very familiar, hopefully a familiar piece to read this morning. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of the sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised up again." Then they remembered his words. And when they came back from the tomb, they told these things to the 11 and to all the others. And it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with him who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself, what had happened? Yes. Absolutely, definitely, without any reservation, Jesus died for our sins. But it's a resurrection still relevant this day, thousands of years later. Yes, Jesus died for our sins, and even more than that, he lived that we might live with him. The resurrection of Jesus is important for several reasons. First of all, it is witness to the absolutely immense power of our God himself. To believe in the resurrection is to believe in God. If God exists, then if he created the universe and has the power over it, he has the power to raise the dead permanently. Now, we know that in the Bible, there were various times when people were raised from the dead. We have stories with Isaiah. Then we have Jairus' daughter. We have Lazarus. But you know what? They were raised from the dead, but they died again. Those of us who believe in Jesus Christ will follow him, that we will not only pass from this life, but we will be raised again eternally, never to die again. We will be clothed in immortal bodies. What a wonderful thing. Never to die again. Never to be submitted to death and the grave. If God does not have such power, he is not a God worthy of our faith and worship. For only he who created life can resurrect it after death. And only he can reverse the hideousness that is death itself. And only he can remove the sting that is death and to remove the victory of the grave. We know that there is pain involved for those who are living and those who are dying. There are people who fear death. We as Christians need not fear that death. We as Christians need not fear that those loved ones that we have lost will be lost forever. Life is not something that just ends at just like a plant or a tree and it is gone. Isn't it for us? It is the beginning of a new journey. It is a door, an opening into a marvelous new life. This is the whole reason we have this faith, that we have Christianity. It's because of today. Yes, Jesus died for us, but he rose again. resurrecting Jesus from the grave, God reminds us of his absolute sovereignty over all life and death, over everything. God is the absolute ruler. Christ's resurrection was an inaugural event, a beginning. It is the beginning of a new creation, something new. Paul even goes as far as to say in 1 Corinthians 15:17, "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins." But that's not so. We know that Christ was raised. We know he is alive. He didn't just come back to life. He is alive today. Without resurrection, our Easter celebration is nothing but a big lie. Jesus' death would have accomplished absolutely nothing. In his book called Surprised by Hope, N.T. Wright notes, "The point of the resurrection is that the present bodily life is not valueless just because we will die. We are not just something that expires and that's the end of it. We just shed this bodily vessel that we're using temporarily." Wright goes on to say, "What you do with your body in the present matters because God has a great future in store for it, in store for you." What we do now is important. What we do now is to expound on the miracle of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the crux, the very basis on which Christianity exists. Dying, there are plenty of people who have died for others. Jesus died for us all, but he resurrected. He did everything first. All the things that Jesus did, he did first, that he asked us to do. He did it first, including coming back to life in an immortal body. And we are to follow. We will be given immortal bodies. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that amazing? All because of Jesus Christ. And he did it. The most fantastic claim of all, the most fantastic claim that we Christians have, is that Jesus rose from the dead. It strains credibility to the limit. It sounds like a myth, a fairy tale. Human beings have tried with all possible ingenuity to both defy and deny death. Many of you remember the story of Ponce de Leon, wanted to find the fountain of youth. People and alchemists have tried this, that, and everything. The Egyptians have gone and mummified bodies, all hoping to come back to life, but to no avail. This is the one instance in all of humankind, in all of the earth, in all of the universe, where somebody has died and returned immortal. Not just returned, but returned immortal. Only Christ has claimed to have conquered it, and he did so miraculously, fully. To personally defeat death and deprive it of its power, not only on himself, but on us. Death has no power over us. None. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes on me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Here is a promise. Christ as God never lies. And here is the promise. You will never die. He said so. It's in writing. It's there for all to see and for all to take heart in. Again, Jesus said, "I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever. I hold the keys and I have all authority over death. The very first Christians enjoyed great confidence in the resurrection of Christ. While they were around, the very first ones, there were many who had seen the risen Christ. 500 at one time were witness to it. This was no small event where a couple people knew about it. Especially back in those times, 500 is a lot. Let me give you one example of using modern logic. All right, when something as fantastic as somebody coming back from the grave goes on, and there is anything to dispute that, it will be written, it will come out somewhere, some way, some shape, because, you know, a lie, somebody is going to break that. Some type of evidence is going to come out. You know what? There has never been anything found that Jesus did not come back to life after the grave. Nobody has ever disputed it from that point in history, because there were people who have known it. Those 500 at one time saw it, and nobody disputed what they saw. Nobody disputed what the apostles saw. Nobody disputed those two apostles on the road to Emmaus saw. That they walked and talked with Jesus Christ. The many times he came back to the apostles, to people. Nobody disputed it. Jesus did it over and over. It wasn't a one-time deal. He appeared time and time again to prove a point. I am alive. I am here for you. This is what you have in store: eternal life, an immortal body. It's clear from the earliest preachings that these people had enough belief in Jesus' resurrection to die for it. Now, there's plenty of people who will expound and tell lies, but who is willing to die for a lie? All these apostles, all these people, the early Christians, and even to this day, there are many Christians who are put to death for their belief. Why are they willing to do this if it is a lie? It is the truth. It is our gift, our expectation. Shortly after Pentecost, the Jewish authorities were greatly disturbed because the apostles were proclaiming the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The heart of their preaching followed this pattern. You killed him, God raised him, and we are witnesses. They are not just telling a story, they are witnesses. They've seen what happened. How many of you have seen court cases on television? You watch, you know, Law and Order and all this other stuff. Okay, what has the greatest authority in court? An eyewitness. An eyewitness. If a prosecutor or the defense can produce an eyewitness, that means tons. That's a lot of weight that is put upon that. And these were all witnesses to Jesus Christ's resurrection. The original gospel of Paul that he said that he received, He concentrated on the matters of first importance: the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the post-resurrection appearances of Jesus Christ. Although Paul himself did not see Jesus in his immortal body, he was exposed to Jesus, and he had belief. He met all these disciples, and he turned, he changed. There was a huge difference in the man. And who did this? Jesus, the resurrected Lord. The earliest followers of Jesus were both clear and confident about the historical fact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Jesus from the dead is the very central fact of our Christian history. It pivots on nothing greater than this day. You know, we have a lot of other things. We celebrate the birth of Christ. We celebrate Pentecost. We celebrate Lent. We do, this, that, and the other thing. But you know what? The biggest thing is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. On it, the church is built. Without it, there is no Christianity. Jesus' resurrection is absolutely unique. Other religions have strong ethical systems. They have concepts, but all of them are without paradise and an afterlife. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a testimony to the resurrection of human beings, which is a very basic building block and tenet of the Christian faith. Unlike all other religions, Christianity alone possesses a founder who transcends death and who promises his followers will do the same. I don't care if it's Buddha. I don't care if it's Muhammad. I don't care who it is. They are all dead. Never came back. We are the only ones with a living leader, founder, Lord, and Savior. Only this separates us from all this stuff that people talk about, like Chrislam and we're all the same. No, we're not. We are the only one with a living Lord and Savior, a Redeemer. Not only did he die for our sins, he lived for our eternal life. That's a glorious thing. I want to see smiles on everybody's faces. This is a great thing. This is fantastic. All other religions were founded by men and prophets who ended in the grave. As Christians, we take comfort in the fact that our God became man, became like us. He came down and humbled himself. He died for our sins and was resurrected on the third day. The grave could not hold him. He lives and he sits today at the right hand of God the Father up in heaven. He literally died for his people. None of these other religions have that. None of them died for their followers. He was raised again in power and glory to rule his church, his bride, forever. Since we didn't witness the risen Christ, imagining the first resurrection morning is a bit difficult for us. Our familiarity with the story makes it easy to overlook the stunning magnitude of what really transpired. We run the risk of taking the resurrection for granted and missing the absolute impact of this miracle. If we knew the story, and we know the story, and if we remain unchanged, we have totally missed its purpose. Let's put this whole thing in another context, okay? Again, we know the story about the rolled away stone and finding Jesus. Let's put this in a modern context. Somebody who was close to you passed away last week. They died. The body was put in a casket, and on Friday they took it over to Michigan Memorial. All of you, how many of you have been there? Michigan Memorial Park, we all have friends, relatives there. A grave was dug, the casket was put in a vault in the grave, and the ground is put upon it. So what happens? On Sunday morning, we decide to go over and visit that grave. We come with a handful of flowers. And when we arrive at that grave site, we see a mound of dirt over on the side. We see the casket up out of the grave, sitting there open, and the very clothes that this person was buried in are laying in the casket. Imagine that. What would go through your mind? This is what those first disciples, this is what those women came upon. If you went to that cemetery and seen that, you go, wow, what happened? How did this be? How can it be? And then there's two heavenly beings that appear next to you and say, why are you looking for the living among the dead? How amazing is that? This is the awe and wonder we need when we look at the resurrection of Christ. Is it relevant today? You bet. If you saw that, it would be an absolute miracle. No one would be able to shut you up. Trust me, you'd be texting and cell phoning everybody in the world. Look at so-and-so. They're gone. Look at this with the grave clothes. Here's the casket. It's all opened up. How did it happen? People's phones would be blowing up. You wouldn't be able to call enough people fast enough. You'd run home. You wouldn't tell people. You'd get on Facebook. Everybody, you'd have pictures. It would be circulated all over. You would be absolutely excited. This is the feeling we need to have on Easter morning about the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. That kind of amazement, that kind of a miracle, that kind of wonderment that Jesus was raised from the grave, we take too calmly the rolling away of the stone. The raised Jesus Christ. But think about those people that were there that very first morning. The very last thing that they expected to see was that stone rolled away and that Jesus was gone. Think about their amazement, their wonder. Put it in perspective. Why is the resurrection so important? Because Christ was raised from the dead. Before that point, death was the end. The finality, game over, terminal, that's it. Now there's a new beginning for all of us. We know the kingdom of heaven at that time had broken into the history of the earth. First time. Our world is not headed for disaster. Our world is now headed for redemption. God's mighty power is at work, even today, destroying sin, creating new lives. And we, as witnesses to that, need to bring that message to others. The resurrected Christ. We are witnesses. We are not eyewitnesses, but we are witnesses because we've been told and because we believe. And it's that belief, that understanding, this undisputed situation. It's in history. You've got Jewish and Roman historians that spoke about the resurrected Jesus Christ. He not only lived, he died, and he came back. And they were not believers, but they told the story. It's there. It's undisputed. The only people who try to dispute it are people who don't want to believe, but they haven't got proof. All they say, well, everybody else dies. Jesus wasn't everybody else. Jesus was God. Jesus is God. And the only ones who try and disprove it are the people who do not want to be subjugated to his love. Because of his death, because of his resurrection, the grave has been conquered. And we too will be raised from the dead to live forever with Christ. The resurrection gives authority to the witnesses, to the church, to the world. It is the very power of the gospel, of the good news. This is the power. The birth, the miracles of Jesus, they are all secondary to this. This is a life-changing, earth-changing, humanity-changing moment in history. The resurrection gives us hope. Gives us hope for the future, regardless of where we walk. The resurrection assures us that Christ is alive and is ruling his kingdom. Over and over again, we hear stories about that. Over and over again, we hear about missionaries, people all over the world. I was listening to something on a secular news station, and there's a movie coming out, and in this movie, the producer is going and finding people who are who have benefited from miracles, and then having professionals in the field that related to this, getting their opinion. He's taking the medical records. The one I heard was of a 16-year-old boy who was born with such a problem with his intestines that all his life, up to 16 years old, he had to be fed with tubes. He could not ingest food the way we do. One evening, this certain pastor, not a famous guy, nobody, no televangelist, but this pastor laid hands on him, prayed for him. This boy felt an electric shock go through him. He became healed. There's medical proof of, there is 16 years of evidence that this kid could not take food in the way we do. And yet in one evening, he had a miracle transform him. And what's happening is this producer is going through various circumstances of all these people having medical records. And then seeing miracles and then having the professionals say, okay, now what do you say? I've got to talk about, I've seen this happen in my own life. Well, within the life of my wife who suffered a stroke, and in the course of less than one weekend, went from suffering the suffering of the stroke and not being able to speak properly and having part of her face drooping and whatever. That happened on a Thursday night, and she walked out of the hospital totally healed on Monday. I have seen it. I know there are medical records. They were gonna take her to U of M on Saturday morning because they said that she had a brain aneurysm. Brain aneurysm is like a balloon in your artery that is on the verge of breaking. It breaks, that sends blood everywhere. They said she had them. She had to be rushed. They were going to take her by ambulance from South Shore over to Ann Arbor. They did a second scan. They did an MRI that morning just to make sure everything was, you know, still okay to transport her. And you know what they found? No aneurysm. No aneurysm. There was medical documented proof that it was there. Saturday night, they took her, because of her situation, they took her to Henry Ford, Maine, because they had the best facilities there. We were in there, and I heard the doctor repeat numerous times, we have proof that she has had a midbrain stroke. Again, Monday morning, she literally walked out of there. I remember I was with her. And there was this elderly black nurse that was in there. And these doctors were baffled. And the nurse says, you know what? They just can't spell God. She looked at Crystal, and she says, you know, it's going to be a while before they get a wheelchair up here. She says, you and I know what happened. You're healed. Walk out of here, sister. And my wife and I walked out of that hospital. Not because of who we are, but because of who he is. Our risen Lord Jesus Christ has given us witness through miracles that happen now, today. It happens all around us. It happens everywhere, and we have to be witnesses to others about what we see. Changes in people's life, not only just physical changes, changes in how they act, how they feel, how they work, how they conduct life with others. We are witnesses to that. That's why we have church. That's why we are the body of Christ, is to support one another, let each other know. God's power that brought Jesus back from the dead is available to us. The resurrection is a triumphant and glorious victory for every believer. His victory is our victory. This isn't like somebody winning the Super Bowl. You know what? The victory of those teams had been a miracle in the Detroit Lions. It wouldn't have been ours because we're not part of it. Even though I went to University of Michigan, when University of Michigan won the national championship years ago, it wasn't mine. I wasn't out on that field. I had nothing to do with it. Well, my money did, but they took it. It's not like a victory we share. This victory we absolutely share in. It is not only Jesus' victory, it's our victory. We get the reward for the victory. Jesus Christ died, was buried, rose on the third day, just as the scriptures said they would. And he is coming again. That is something we look forward to. That is something that we have to understand. He has never abandoned us. He's coming back. And he's coming back in all his glory. The dead in Christ will rise up, and those who remain and are alive at his coming will be changed into new and immortal bodies and receive these glorified bodies. Those who precede in death will be with him immediately. Why is the resurrection of Jesus Christ important? Number one, it demonstrated that God accepted Jesus' sacrifice on our behalf. It was an acceptance by God of the sacrifice Jesus made. He said, "This is enough. This is sufficient for all." It proves that God has the power to raise us from the dead. It guarantees that those who believe in Jesus Christ will not remain dead, but will be resurrected into eternal life. We will have eternal life. This is the relevance of the resurrection today. This event that took place over 2,000 years ago is important today because it's for each and every one of you. It's for me. This is our hope. This is our blessed hope. Amen.